Our reading will begin in verse number 15 of chapter number 1. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, so please follow along, and it reads, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. You ain't got to grab him by the hand unless you want to, but just turn to your neighbor. Make eye contact with somebody. And if you want to grab him by the hand, that's all right. Just two consenting individuals touching hands. Hand sanitizers is all around. Look your neighbor in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I know how
I got here.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
I know how
I got here."
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We have entitled our message this morning, "I Know How I Got Here." My brothers and my sisters, I want us to understand something about who we are. The one thing that the church cannot lose sight of is your journey. The journey is significant because you can't ever have an arrival point unless you go on a journey. So, but what happens with some people is that they celebrate and get excited about the arrival, but forget about the journey that they went through to get there. Too often we want to forget about what we've come from and what we've come through and just want to celebrate where we are. You see, as we read our church history today, we did not talk about where we are right now. We celebrated the journey that this church has taken from being established in 1896 and then having the Bush Harbor and then looking at it going from Little Rock and now it's called Broad Rock. Come on now. That is us celebrating our journey. And what Paul is doing here is he's writing to the church in Colossae. He is letting the Colossians know that you can't forget your journey. Because if you forget your journey and you celebrate now that you have arrived, there's always going to be somebody coming, Mother Austin, who's going to come and talk about where you are and how you really got there. It didn't happen the way you think it happened. It's not like this. It's not like that. I want you to know there's always somebody who will take the word of God and they will twist it.
I hear you, brother.
You see, but when you're able to celebrate your journey, and you see where you are right now in your life, you will understand that through the muck and the mire, through the storm and the rain, through the cold and the valley, that the Lord was with you from beginning to end. There were times you wanted to quit. There were times you wanted to turn around. There were times you wanted to stop. There were times you just wanted to say, "Lord, I can't any longer." But God kept taking you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody been through anything? And now that you're on the other side, Isn't our God a mighty good God? All right, but come on, we ain't get there yet. We got places to go and things to see. You see, what is happening here is that the Gnostics were coming to the Colossians, making the attempt to let them know that Jesus ain't all that. He's just somebody else. He's really just a figment of your imagination. And everything that you see around here, Jesus ain't had nothing to do with it. Isn't this amazing that the Colossians would even give these folk an ear? You see, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes you got to listen to folk before you can reach folk. But then when you hear some folk talking, no matter what you say, they ain't going to hear a word you say. And you know what they're saying ain't making no kind of sense. One and one ain't making two. It's making 11. You know it's time to go.
Amen.
So word got to Paul about what was happening in Colossae. And what Paul had to do was to send this letter to the Colossians to get them focused again. Because of the fact that he wanted them to understand that they've been on a journey. They've reached an arrival point. But don't just celebrate your arrival. Celebrate the entire journey. Can we go look at it now? You see, one of the biggest things that we see here in these particular verses is that it is made known. In verse number 15, he says, he is the image, and Jesus is who he's talking about. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So what Paul is saying, for those folk who said he was a figment of your imagination, or he's just a thought, I'm here to tell you, he was here before anybody else was.
Amen.
That everything began with Jesus, because the Father put it in the Son's hands and moved the Son forward. The Son was the one that did as the Father spoke it. Because as the Father spoke the word, Jesus was the word that went and did what the Father said. He brought the stuff that is here before us. Because he is in the image of God. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, so am I. Oh, let me show you. You don't believe me. Because in Genesis chapter 1, in verses 26 and 27, God said, let us. Did you see that word us?
Yes,
you see, because Jesus was already there with the Father before there was a world, that Jesus was there. That's why he said, let us create humankind in our image. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were already existing and already working it together. And as they did, they created us, male and female. So we are created in the image of God for the sole purpose of being a representative for God. But we know how we lost our way. When you don't go back and look at Genesis, you'll go back and look at Genesis chapter 2, 3, you first 1, 2, and 3, and you'll see how that all happened. I ain't got time to deal with it today. But what I want you to understand is that Jesus was once invisible, but he has now been made visible here on this earth. And it tells us even further in verse 16, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and what? Invisible. Whether throne or dominion or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and what? For him. You see, my brothers and my sisters, there ain't nothing here that God ain't created. You see, so that thing is, whatever God blesses you with, you're supposed to give God the glory. Amen? Because guess what? If you ain't had it before and you got it now, who do you praise, God? You see, but we got to understand, what is it that we get that God ain't blessed us with? You see, I made the clothes on your back, God bless you with. The food on your table, God bless you with. The roof over your head, God bless you with. The shoes on your feet, God bless you with. You see how you got that hand undid up, or whether or not you got a shiny and glory. I want you to understand, it's nobody but God who has blessed you.
Amen.
It started with God. It stays with God. And it what? Ends with God.
That's so.
There's nothing here greater than God. And the Father sent his Son to represent him on this earth. Because he tells us in 17, he himself is before what? All things. And in him, all things hold together. See that? Hold together. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm thanking Jesus. Do you understand that there's been a time in your life? Now, I know you're going to be all sedity on me. I know you're going to act like it ain't true. But there was a time in your life when you was catching hell. There was time in your life you wanted to give up. There was a time in your life you thought you was going to lose your mind. There was a time in your life you couldn't sleep at night. There was a time in your life in order to go to sleep, you had to pop a pill. In order to wake up and stay awake, you had to pop a pill. In order to keep your mind right, I hear a top cracking now. And then all of a sudden, you thought that was holding you together, but what it really was doing was breaking you down. What it was doing was tearing you up. You was toe up from the flow up. There was a time you was about to fall flat on your face, but that's when the Lord stepped right in. That's when the Lord grabbed a hold of you. He told you that there is a better way. When you thought you couldn't take another step, that's when the Lord picked you up and took the steps for you. When you thought you couldn't lift your head again, isn't the Lord the one that lifted your head up? It is the Lord that is holding all of us together. And I want you to know that he holds us together so good. The cracks that used to be in us, they ain't there no more. Because I don't care, some of us used to do a whole lot of leaking. But the Lord is the one who is holding us together. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I know you think you're all that bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. I know you think you got it all together. I know you think you got it all figured out. But there was a time when you didn't, and even right now you don't. It's the reason why you're thinking that way, because God is the one who's been holding you together. And if the Lord hadn't been there with you, if the Lord even takes his hand off you for a minute, that's going to make me start sweating. I don't want to think about that. I am so thankful that the Lord is the one who is holding me together. Do I got anybody else in God's house who's happy that the Lord is holding you together? You were about to do something stupid, but God held you together. You thought it was over, but God held you together. You thought you couldn't move forward, but God held you together. Oh, what a mighty God! It's only because God is holding us together. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with him. Look at verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have second place. Oh, I didn't read that right. Let me go back. Let me rub my eyes one more time. Now, we ain't plucking our eyes out yet. Hold that on. Keep that thought. I rebuke that one. Have first place in some things. A few things. Most things. Okay. First place in everything. You see, Broad Rock, the reason why we're talking about this right now is God is preparing us. Why is God preparing us? Because God is taking us to where we have not been before. And as God is taking us there, if we lose sight of the journey and just focus on the point of arrival, we might end up patting ourselves on the back and where we are.
Help us. Preach, brother. Look
at all this space. Look at where we are. Oh boy, we done did something here. You hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God wants us to understand. I know how I got here.
Got here.
And you know how I got here? It's because his name
is Jesus.
That's right. When you talk about the body and the anatomy and the biology of who we are, you know, I was on a machine for 9.5 days that was breathing for me. Because I couldn't, my lungs was too clogged. One filled with blood clot and the other one filled with pneumonia. So I was on a ventilator for 9.5 days. A machine breathing for me. But I want you to know that breathing is an involuntary process that's happening in our lives. Our heart beats involuntarily, meaning that you can make your heart beat.
Amen.
You can make it stop
Amen.
By doing something stupid, but you can't make your heart beat.
All right.
You can make it go a little faster when you get excited.
Yeah.
You can make it go slower when you calm down, but you can't stop your heart from beating.
Thank you, Lord.
Your heart beats and you breathe. Are things that are controlled by the head. The central nervous system comes up and connects to the brain, and the brain sends all the messages to the various parts of our bodies that keep things going. But if you want to, if you cut the head off, no matter how strong that body is, the body's dead.
Yes, sir.
Because it no longer has its control system in place. The head has been removed. So, church, what we have to understand, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the saints
Jesus,
of God,
Jesus.
As God takes us to where he's taking us, we will not ever forget about the head. Because if you forget about the head, the body's in trouble. Because I want you to know that every year, thousands of churches are shutting their doors. All over this country. Don't believe me? Because a lot of y'all like to Google. Go Google it and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Every year, thousands of churches are shutting their doors. Because they lose contact with their vital system, which begins in the head. And if we don't give the Lord his proper due,
Amen.
Then I want you to know that we'll be in danger of a body dying right in his presence.
Talk about that, Pastor.
So in all actuality, what we got to understand, my brothers and my sisters, the Bible specifically tells us that we have to keep Jesus first. You know why he's got to be first? Because he is the Alpha. Don't you know that he is the one? Now let me put it to you like this. We say that we don't want God to be first, Jesus to be first. Let me break it down to you like this. When Jesus came, no, back up. Check this out. Deacon Elwood, you wanted to go buy another car. Just a runaround car. But this dude told you he had a car for sale and you went to go look at. Tires were cleaner than your head. Meaning that they didn't have no tracks on it, right? And then a couple of the tires didn't the air was kind of low on them. Big crack in the front windshield. Dings all around it. That the paint job looked like it didn't have one. And then when you went to go start the car, you turned the key in the car. I looked at you like, what? My man said, all you got to do is tap it a few times and it'll start up. And finally it did start up and it ran for about 30 seconds and it quit. And you looked at that dude, you threw him the keys back and said, man, you can keep that car.
That's right.
Because that car wasn't worth, in your mind, 2 cents.
All right.
I want you to understand something. When Jesus came to this earth,
All right.
We were just like that car. Folk thought we weren't worth.
2 cents.
But Jesus did this for you and I. He made us the priority. He said, I don't care what it looks like. I want you to know that I'm making them my priority.
Yeah.
I'm not making them second, third, fourth, or fifth. I'm going to make them first right now.
Right.
Because I am going to give my all for them.
Yeah.
They might not fully understand it right now, but I want them to understand, no matter how many folk have kicked them to the curb, how many folk have dismissed them, how many folk have told them sorry, when he went to the cross, stretched his arms wide, took that last breath, he took the sin of the world to the cross. And when they took him off the cross and wrapped his body and put his dead body in that tomb, he stayed there all night Friday, all day and night Saturday. Right. But early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands to let us know that death, hell, and the grave have no more priority or power over us. Because Jesus said he made us his primary objective to heal and deliver us. And don't you know the reason why we ain't healed and delivered is because we did not make Jesus
first.
You want to see the Lord work in your life? Make him first. You want to see him turn some stuff around? Make him first. You see, I want you to understand something. That we don't serve a God who is excited about being second, third, or fourth. He wants to be first in our life. Matthew says it first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things shall be added unto you. Paul is reminding the church in Colossae that y'all have to understand, you want to see God bless your church, you want to see your church continue to grow, you got to keep God
first.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, you got to understand something. Anytime folk come in church and walk around, you know, wouldn't be no church here right now if I ain't paid to keep the water on and the heat on. Wouldn't be no church. Don't you know, if I ain't paid a mortgage about four or five times, we wouldn't have a building right now. You see, and folk forget about something. When you understand how you got here, what you don't do is talk about what you do. Because you don't let it be known or let it be known that, you know what, God is saying to you, wait a minute. Who woke you up this morning? Wait a minute. Who blessed you with the mind that you had? Who opened the doors for you to get that job? Who's blessing you with the money that you make right now? So when you go walk around and talk about what you done did, I thank God that we ain't got folk like that here at Broad Rock. The folk at Broad Rock understand, I know how I got here. I'm here because of God's grace and mercy. Because the Lord could have left me on the roads where I was tore up from the flow up. But the Lord came and picked me up. He made me whole. He grabbed a hold of me. He is keeping me right now. So whatever I do, I got to give God the praise. That's why when I come into God's house, I don't come in here like a bump on the log. I got to give God the praise because I know how I got here. I know why I am still here. And if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody know God has been good to you? Anybody know he's brought you a mighty long way? Anybody know he is your all in all? Somebody ought to go on and thank him right now. Put your head back and say, hallelujah.
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 Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
We almost done, but we ain't quite there yet. You see, he is the head that keeps the body functioning. You know, I know it says out there in that marquee, Pastor Kevin Cook. I recognize that I've been called to this. But guess what? Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? I recognize no matter what I know, what I say, what I preach, I know where it comes from. I know who has anointed me. I know who has appointed me. I am here because God has opened the door for me to be here. I ain't going to talk about what I did because I ain't all that. A bag of chips, two sodas, or a shake on the side. The one who is all in all, his name is Jesus. Because you know what? You got a story of what the Lord done for you. Guess what? I got a story. Ain't none of us in here were perfect. None of us in here dotted all our I's and crossed all our T's. We all had to go through the muck and the Nehemiah, all of us have fallen flat on our face. And if it had not been for the Lord coming by and picking us up, where in the world would we be? That's why when I think about what the Lord has done for me, I know how I got here. I got to thank him. I got to praise him, because I know where I was. I know what I was like. I know it was nobody but Jesus who turned my life around. You see, my brothers and my sisters, all you got to do is think about all that God has done for you. When you think about how God has brought you through, you can't help but give God the glory. You can't help but say, thank you, Lord. Because God, where would I be without you? I know how I. All right, we're about to wrap it up because we got to close this thing. Because I want you to come back at 3 o'clock. Stay and eat. We're going to close out these two verses. Verse 19 says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Look at your neighbor, say neighbor. It was chaos. You know what Jesus did, y'all? He brought us peace. But I want you to know, he brought us peace through chaos.
That's right. That's right.
Somebody gonna catch that. You see, when Jesus came and they grabbed him to take him to, and they beat him and they took those thorns, made a crown from him and jabbed it on top of his head. And the chaos that was going on at that time. The one thing that we have to know is that, and I say this every fourth Sunday, they did us a favor when they broke his skin. Because when they broke his skin on that cross, the blood came out. That blood that came out of all that chaos,
yes, sir,
was bringing peace, yes, to all that received Jesus. And you know what? When you think about your life and what it was like prior to Jesus, wasn't it full of chaos?
That's right.
And because of Jesus coming and bringing the fullness of God, and once that blood fell on us. Now, I want you to understand that blood doesn't accidentally fall on anybody. It's when we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And when we confess that and we believe that in our hearts, that blood that was on that cross 2,000 years later, it still drops on you, because it never loses its power. Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me I ain't got to get right, then come? No. You mean to tell me I ain't got to clean some stuff up and then come? No. The Bible says you come just. You see, the Lord, if you could fix yourself, Jesus didn't have a reason to come.
Amen.
He came because there's stuff in us that we just couldn't fix. We were like that car. You kept turning the key and it kept going, but never would stop. You see, but Jesus. You see, because every car, you know what every car has to have in order to start? It's got to have a starter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I know we got all these newfangled cars now, but I'm just going back to a minute. I don't know a whole lot about cars, Phil. I'm just telling a little bit I do know. Because if it breaks down, I can flip a tire. Other than that, I'm like, I got to take it. Somebody else got to look at it. But I know with the new cars, I know it's fuel injection and all that. But the one thing cars have is a starter. The purpose of the starter is to get things going. And the starter for us is called the blood of Jesus. See, because the thing is, in order for the starter to get started, you got to put the key of faith in. You see, because the key of faith goes in, and then it takes faith to turn the key. And once you turn the key, I want you to know it hits that starter. The starter drops the blood on us, and then then all of a sudden you hear the engine go, ring, 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 ring. Anybody got their engine started today? If the Lord been your starter,
and your engine is running right now. I know how I got here because I have a starter. His name is Jesus. He dropped that blood on me, put me at peace. So guess what? My car don't make that run, run, run no more. It just runs like this. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you look at what the Lord has done for you, when you look at where he's brought you from, I want you to know there ain't no shame in praising God. Because when you know I know how I got here, I don't care what you try to say to twist it. I ain't going to let it get twisted because I know where the Lord has brought me from. I know the journey I have been on. I know where I have arrived to. But I got to give him the praise. I got to give him the glory. Anybody want to thank him right now? Anybody want to give him the glory right now? Paul Rock has been here 122 years because we know how we. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you know how good God has been, when you know where the Lord has brought you from, you can't help but praise him. You can't help but thank him because you know you ain't the one that started yourself up. You ain't the one that's keeping you going. You ain't the one that's holding yourself together. It's nothing but God's grace and mercy, his Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, allowing us to do what we do in the matter which we do it. And when we get it done and folks say how good of a job we done, we say, shut your mouth. You better go on and give God the glory. It's nobody but the Lord who's made a way out of no way. He's opened doors for me. He's knocked down walls for me. He's done the impossible in my life. You see, I know how I got here. I know it's nobody but the Lord who made a way out of no way, who's been there with me through thick and through thin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Are you serving a God who's been there with you through thick and through thin? I tell you, our God is just good like that. I know how I got here. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know how I got here. What about you? The only reason why Broad Rock is here 122 years later is because this church understand who's the head. And his name is
Jesus.
We are the body, and the body takes its instructions from the head.
That's right.
And as long as we keep that principle in place. Now, what is that principle? It's called the Word of God. And you know what? How we learn about the Word of God? Not just on Sunday morning.
That's right.
It's called Wednesday evening, Wednesday midday, or before service in Sunday school. You got to make it your business to want to continue to allow the Word of God to saturate your life, to empower you. And you will find out you'll do things you thought you never could do. When they look at you and look at where you've come from, you remember how you had so many hand-me-downs, you ain't know what it was to buy a new clothes. And once you got a job, you blew your whole first check just buying nothing but clothes. Because you said, I ain't wearing no more hand-me-down. Some of us have gotten so particular, we might wear an outfit once or twice, and after that, we just got to give it away because I just got to buy all new stuff. Because I was hand-me-down. I know somebody over here just said, that ain't talking about me. I ain't bumping that kind of money on no clothes. Tell him, Father, he don't know I hear real well. But I'm just messing with you on that. But what I'm saying in all honesty, God has brought you a mighty long way. And guess what? He's still on the journey with you. And he's going to be there with you always.